That's it. Yeah. That's it then.
In Henceforward by Alan Ayckbourn, Jerome was played by Jared Harris, Nan and Corinna by Joanne Wally, and Zoe and Zoe Nan by Sophie Winkleman. Mervyn Bickerdyke was played by Darren Richardson, Lupus by Simon Templeman, and Jane by Maura Quirk. The voice of the technician was Matthew Wolfe, and Mary Hope Fitch, Daisy Hayden. 9-year-old Jane was played by Rosa Calcraft. Original music was composed by Mark Holden and Michael Lopez. Henceforward was directed by Martin Jarvis and is a Jarvis and Ayres production.
And this is BBC Radio 3. The time is just after 10:30 now. Time for World Roots with Lucy Duran.
Tonight in World Roots, I'll be reviewing new albums of world music with Arwa Haidar and John L. Walters. First, though, from the city of Pune in India, the very special ancient classical music style known as Drupad, performed by Pandit Uday Bhavalkar.
Ta-ra-na-ri.
Rag Boop, sung by Uday Bavalkar, accompanied on the tambura by his daughter Manasi Bavalkar in the World Roots studio. And we'll be hearing more of that session featuring Udayji's masterful voice in the ancient and deep classical style known as Drupad at the end of the programme. First, a review of new world music albums with writer Arwa Haydar of the Metro newspaper and writer and editor John L. Walters. What a stunning voice he has.
Absolutely blissed out after listening to that.
Well, the four albums that we're reviewing are really very different from that. Well, in some ways. They include reggae music from Algeria via Ecuador and elsewhere, gospel guitar music from Malawi, and a new take on that evergreen Turkish-Greek style, Rebetika. But let's start with this very interesting new collaboration between Brazil and Mali. John.
Yes, this is a new album out in mid-June called A Curva de Cintura, which means the curve of the waist. And it's a collaboration between the singer Arnaldo Antunes, the guitarist Edgard Scandura, both Brazilians, and they went to Mali to record with the great kora player Tumani Diabate. And we're going to hear a track called Kyra.
A música muda o mundo pra melhor, pra melhor, pra melhor. Assim como o pensamento muda sua sensação, a música muda tudo e tudo muda você. Você é você porque muda, a música ajuda a ser.
Kyra, featuring Tumani Diabate on kora with Arnaldo Antunes and Edgard Scandura. That's from the album A Curva da Cintura, which is released on Mais Discos. Well, as we were listening to that, I thought how beautifully actually that followed on from the Drupad singer with that very, very deep voice and very kind of ethereal, minimalist sound.
Well, that's probably one of the most mellow tracks on the album. It's quite an upbeat album and has fantastic rhythmic playing by a great band. As well as hearing Tumani, we hear his son, Siddiqui, playing on some of the more upbeat numbers, and even Wawa Cora and a couple of places. This is one of those albums that's really wormed its way into my consciousness, because when I first got it, I didn't really like Arnaldo's voice very much. And I just sort of stuck it on my iPhone and started to sort of listen to it.
Arwa, can I bring you in here? What do you think of Arnaldo's voice?
Funny enough for me, Arnaldo's voice was one of the first things that I loved about the album. Obviously, I'm definitely a fan of Timani's Cora playing, and this was the first time that, to my knowledge, I've heard Siddiqui, his son, play as well. But, I mean, when Arnaldo hits those really resonant bass notes, there's something quite sensuous about that. But then also, he sounds quite droll at certain other points, which appeals to me. According to the backstory, Timani actually initiated the collaboration after the trio played together at the Back to Black Festival a couple of years ago.
That was in Rio de Janeiro.
In Rio, exactly. And that festival is going to be in the UK in London on the 1st of July this summer, I think. So I quite like the fact that both Arnaldo and Edgar come from sort of a maverick rock background in the Brazilian music scene.
It's an album that has a lot of resonance. I think people from all sorts of musical backgrounds will pick up on this. You know, there's there's bits of psychedelic rock, there's things almost like the Beatles, there's very tuneful things, there's things that remind me of, you know, several different parts of Brazil. And yet it all flows together. It's a very well-produced album. It's kind of feeling of the blues and really a whole world of music without ever becoming a kind of formless mash, which we all too often get.
Especially from collaborations that go across the Atlantic. And
they can go terribly wrong, but this is one that went terribly right.
Arwa, <We're at that. laughs> you've been listening to an album by a singer from Algeria on the label, on the US label, Kumbacha. But this is Algeria with a twist.
Yes, Algeria with several attempted twists, anyway. That's right, it's an album called Everyday Salama by the Algerian-born, Ecuador-based singer Sarazino. And what he's done on this album is kind of create a sort of summery cocktail that he describes as global reggae, and it also shakes in everything from Latin pop to kind of conscious hip-hop, and an array of guests as well, who range from Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars to the Afro-Peruvian act Nova Lima. And on the track that we're going to hear, which is called Sigueme Déjalo, the sultry vocals featured on this track are from the Sao Paulo singer Luisa Maita. Yeah.
Va la marca, vale la pena, salta la valla y se queda con media. Viene la mala, viene la buena, mandan la bala y se quedan con ella. A veces se gana, a veces se falla, a veces su amor es como una metralla. Paga, paga, paga el arriendo, paga la coima y paga. Sígueme, déjalo, lo pasamos con. Su alma y se lleva la plata, mete la pala, planta la mata, viene un mal viento y estira la pata, mira la panza, nunca se llena, llega la barca y encalla en la arena, paga, paga, la luz y el agua, la policía me paga.
Sin descuento. Don't you go so far, you little man.
That was the Algerian-born singer Sara Zino, also known as Lamine Fella, in the track Sigueme Déjalo. And that's from his album Everyday Salama, which is just out on Kumbancha. And you could hear the voice of the Brazilian female singer Luisa Maita. Well, I think that's one of the tracks that I like best on this album. So thank you for choosing that particular one.
I'm glad I've done something remotely right there.
But, well, John, why don't you give me some feedback on what you think about this
I'm
album?
Afraid, we were talking a little bit about world music mishmashes, and this to me is too much like that. But, you know, I don't really like Manu Chao that much, and this to me is a bit like watered down Manu Chao. And it is nice to hear some of the extra singers. I thought Luisa Maita did sound very nice then, but on quite a few tracks, you're sort of thinking, oh, thank goodness he stopped so the other singer can come in. And
to me, it just doesn't have enough of its own character. It just sounds too much like kind of formulaic Manu Chao.
Well, I mean, the reference point that's invariably come up, as you've both rightly picked up on, is Manu Chao. And Sara Zino himself has definitely cited Manu Chao as an influence. I have to say that I went into this, like, listening to this album, like, looking forward to it, because I just thought, you know, this could work really well. It's that combination of conscious lyrics and easy on the ears tunes. Well, you know, why shouldn't that work? And it's easygoing charm, I think, doesn't lend itself to much variety throughout. And also the problem is, I think Sara Zino's real aim with this album is to try and kind of reach as broad an audience as possible. And what can happen, in effect, what has happened here, is that you kind of water down the, you know, the production and even the array of guests, which is actually what kind of made me want to hear this, because they're obviously, you know, they're coming from obviously lots of different countries and musical styles.
Yes, but they're all coming from Kumbancha. They're all signed to the Kumbancha label, so it becomes a bit like Kumbancha All-Stars. Nothing wrong with that,
but then also...
Lots of people do that, don't they?
Well, absolutely, and it's actually a model that a lot of corporate record labels, not independent record labels, are based on. But it then starts, you know, it raises the question whether this is actually really a creative vision or whether it's actually... This is quite conveniently the same label. But, I mean, I did find that... It's the kind of music I can imagine working incredibly well during festival season. And I think sort of seeing it on a live stage outdoors under the sun, you know, in the sunshine, it's quite crowd-rousing.
But that's a good point. That's a very good point.
It
yes.
seems pitched directly at festival season. I don't know if I've spotted Sara Zino on the lineup for big events like WOMAD, I have to admit, but that would work fantastically live as a record. I mean, the kind of radical fusion that happened in the late 1980s and 90s, he hasn't pushed that forward in any way.
Well, Sara Zino's new album, Everyday Salama, has just been released on the Kumbancha label. And now we move to a country that we don't hear so much about, at least musically, Malawi.
This is a pretty raw recording of a group from Malawi called the Malawi Mouse Boys, playing homemade instruments and singing a kind of gospel music, and this is called Jesus.
Inu, oh, pogona, inendi dalinaino oa Yesu inendi dalinaino zona Yesu inendi dalinaino a Yesu inendi dalinaino oh a Yesu inendi dalinaino Yesu inendi dalilainu sona Yesu inendi dalilainu oh a Yesu inendi dalilainu a Yesu inendi dalilainu oh a Yesu inendi dalilainu.
Yesu by the Malawi Mouse Boys from their album He Is Number One, which has just been released on Independent Records. Arwa?
This album's kind of proved an unusual crossover. It seems to have been taken to the hearts of DJs and platforms that don't normally play international music. It's actually an unusual crossover hit. And it actually took me a few listens to get into it, despite its simplicity, because I think I kind of came to it expecting some kind of razzle-dazzle punchline to it. And its resonance and beauty are purely in the rawness, but I think it's also presented in a, you know, insidiously clever way as well.
Well, it's produced by Ian Brennan, who's the person who produced Tinari Wen's last album, yes. The Grammy Award-winning album.
Perhaps Ian Brennan deserves some props for just getting out there and making
recording
his equipment work. You know, we hear about the spiders that attacked his hard drive, his recording equipment. The sleeve notes start, it was just around the corner from the Pack and Go coffin shop that any trace of music was found in Malawi. On a tiny stretch of road, which marks the only place where the tradition continues of selling barbecued mice on the stick as snacks for passing travellers. So that explains why they call the Malawi Mouse Boys. They make their living from selling tasty mouse snacks. Not something I've ever tasted or ever will.
Nor me.
But the instruments, sort of guitars and some sorts of percussion instruments that seem to be homemade.
Which, of course, would account for the fact that that guitar is so horrendously out of tune.
Yes.
Because I presume it would be impossible to tune that.
That's a really good point there, because I actually think that particularly now there's a real fascination with the whole idea of recycled DIY instruments. And I mean, for me, the kind of harmonies, the kind of basic gospel harmonies, that they're quite a young band, aren't they? I mean,
yeah,
I think they're all 20s, in their early 20s.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's what I found really gripped me. I mean, on one hand, there's an argument that there's obviously a great skill in capturing the essence without embellishing it too much. And I think that's possibly why, as I was saying, it's crossed over, because there's something refreshing about that glitchiness. If you're used to listening to a lot of overproduced mainstream music, here's something that's kind of in the raw.
It actually couldn't be more different from the album that we just heard by Sarah Zeno.
No, absolutely.
Yes,
and,
complete.
No, but you can almost imagine that they could become a sort of a cult. Listen.
There's also perhaps another thing now that, you know, I tend to listen to albums and I want albums to be complete works of art, you know, a sequence and to be produced. But in fact, we're now in a culture where we listen to lots of things on shuffle, we're listening to individual tracks. DJs resequence things and mix things and they're flying around, you hear little snippets. So maybe this is it has that effect of a bit of vinegar in the system, you know, it's sort of a shock to the ear when you're playing it alongside a lot of other things that come from totally different cultures.
He Is Number One, the album by the Malawi Mouse Boys, is out on Independent Records. So now to our last album today, an album with a new take on rebetika, which is one of the great traditions of the Eastern Mediterranean, dating back to the 1920s. Arwa.
Absolutely. This is an album by a modern Greek collective called Loxandra, and they're delving with great passion into the tradition of rebetika, which originally dates back to the city taverns and cafes of the Ottoman Empire. And all the various cultural exchanges that you would expect from that period of Turkish, Greek, but also Persian, Sephardic, Jewish, Muslim, that they're all entwined in the music. It's also presented as a kind of snapshot of something lost, because, as you said, this is music that kind of predates 1922, predates the displacement of people.
And there was a huge exchange of population between Greece and Turkey in 1922.
It's kind of urban music, isn't it? It's about a you know, being in a cafe, a place, you know, finding a home from home, you know, perhaps when life gets difficult and you go to this sort of wonderful, rather exotic place and somehow all your troubles and your joys are expressed in a microcosm of music.
Over a glass of wine.
Over a glass of wine, of course. But what excited me most about this record is just the sheer skill and exuberance of the playing. You know, it's like listening to great classical musicians, great jazz musicians. You really feel they're right inside the music. They're not playing at it. They are living that music.
Absolutely, in a really fiery way. I mean, if this is an entirely modern piece of music, we'd probably call it a mashup or something, but it's just it's a really, really good demonstration of what they've achieved on this collection.
Yeah, it's a great album.
Nikolakimou Amanes by the Greek collective Loxandra, and that's from their album Mehan Kafe Aman, which is out on the Greek label Polyphonon. Thanks to both of you, to John L. Walters and to Arwa Haydar for joining us. And don't forget, there are full details of all the music in the programme on the Radio 3 website. Well, now let's return to our session with the Drupad singer Pandit Uday Bahvalkar, whose magical voice we heard at the beginning of the programme. He came into our studios during a recent visit to the UK to do workshops for the Asian music circuit in London. The Drupad style tends to dwell on particular notes, holding them for a long time while gradually exploring their relationship with the drone and the other notes of the rag, and the effect is deeply meditative and entrancing.
Our rag music is based on microtones, you know. We don't necessarily go for tempered scale, you know. Tempered scale is it's fine, you know, but there are also so many around notes, there is sound so much, and that creates the rasa, the emotion, and the bhav, the sentiments, the moods. So there is so much space between two notes, you know.
And what inspired you to study Drupad?
Well, I wasn't planning to learn any form of music. It was a coincidence. And
you don't have music in your family?
No, my sister sings, my elder sister sings, and from her I got the inspiration. But I was studying mostly khayal with her, because khayal is known music in India. You know, Dhrupad, very few people sing. And I studied under Zia Fariduddin Dagar and Zia Mohiuddin Dagar in Guru Shishya Parampara.
The famous Dagar brothers.
Yeah. For about 12 years, I stayed in their home and learned.
What an experience.
It was amazing.
And it's a very meditative music, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, what's its connection with Hindu spirituality?
You see, rag music was, before it came to the court, you know, it was never like a performing art, you know. People used to practice for self-realization, more introvert, you know, than going or doing it for people, you know. So it's for self-realization and self-joy and uplifting yourself with the music, you know. And in alap, what happens, there are no words. There are only the syllables, ara, na, rina, which derives from a Sanskrit chanting, Om Ananta Hari Narayan. But if I would say continuously this chanting, that will create a meaning. You can create any meaning. So it's quite abstract art at the same time.
So there's a huge amount of philosophy and
it is
self-examination, yes, as well as just the sheer technique.
You know, for example,
learning.
My guru used to teach me, and then he would say, don't go beyond two or three notes for an hour. And technically, it might be repetition, but it is not, we don't see technique in that, you know. That I am repeating sa re sa, sa re re sa. It's not like that. Re. Re sa, sa, re, 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 re. So
it's just the beauty of the note and the sustaining of the note.
Yes, yes.
You must have incredible breath control as well.
Yes, and when you go into the sound, when you really go into the sound, and then sound uplifts you. Sound tells you all the meaning. So I always feel that in our philosophy, in our history, in our philosophy or in our belief, we believe in nine sentiments, navaras, the nine moods. So I believe that every note has capacity of seeing all these nine rasas without any lyric.
And why do you think it is that Drupad is not performed by so many people now? Is it because it's a very difficult art? It's an art that takes very long to learn?
It is not difficult art. I would not say I would not put it in that way, but it requires patience to learn. And as I said, it is not as catchy, which will immediately attract you, you know. For many years, you know, very few people are doing it. So, but now it's growing. The popularity is growing. Concerts are growing. I am performing more than my guru.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's his blessings. You know, I'm not comparing myself. But the truth is that the time is now for Dhrupad has come that I am having. Even my guru's son has much more concert. Bahauddin Dagar, who plays the veena, he has much more concert than his father. So time has changed.
What will you sing for us now, Udeji, for us to end the program with?
Yes, it's a rag called Rageshri, and I would be singing a quite ancient composition. It describes about Prathama Sura Sadhe, that first practice the note and the sound, and then how you practice, like a candle is burning, that with that sensitivity, with that peace, and then Yahi Ghat Me Pragata Prana Sadhe. So you practice your beingness within you. So it says that everything is within you. If you concentrate and you study yourself and with that dedication and that peace, you know.
Prathama Sura
Music from Uday Bavalkar, ending World Roots. It was introduced by Lucy Duran and produced by Roger Short. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 11:15. Time for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello, you're listening to Jeanette Mason and Dina DeRose in concert at the recent Steinway Piano Festival. We bring you highlights of their set this week, and staying on the piano theme,
it connects to a life force that we really believe is a healthy and beautiful thing. And on top of that feeling, you can aspire to be Mozart or whoever you want.
The voice of Alan Broadbent making a rare appearance to the UK, and Kevin Ajomra talks to him a little later. All of this on this week's Jazz Lineup. For 35 years, guitarist Mitch Dalton has played with many of the greatest jazz musicians in the world and has become a much-revered session guitarist. His list of jazz credits is endless, including such giants as Ella Fitzgerald, Peggy Lee and Wayne Shorter, all on his CV. Well, his new group, the Studio Kings, are three close friends who are also top session musicians. Dave Arch plays keyboards, Steve Pierce is on bass, and Ian Thomas is on the drums. Here's Mitch's nod towards Wes Montgomery with his self-penned Wes.
Thank you.
Wes Wes Wes, written and played by Mitch Dalton on guitar, Dave Arch on keyboards, Steve Pierce on bass, Ian Thomas on the drums, and guest percussionist Frank Ricotti. That's taken from the new CD out now on the Regis record label called Meet Mitch Dalton and the Studio Kings. In this day and age of the star jazz musician, the idea that three individual stars would merge to form a trio may be something that you wouldn't necessarily imagine could happen and succeed. Fly, who are bassist Larry Grenadier, drummer Jeff Ballard, and tenor saxophonist Mark Turner, have all very distinctive and highly successful musical careers, performing with such heavyweights as Chick Corea, Brad Meldow, Pat Metheny, and Joshua Redman, to name but a few. Well, they've joined together as a tour de force with an aim to bring together many musical elements, traditions, histories, and mysteries, says saxophonist Mark Turner. The trio started out by playing gigs in New York, which they then extended into a tour of Italy. With a strong connection on and off the stage, the trio Fly was born. So here's a track taken from their second and newest release on ECM called Year of the Snake. And this track's called Festival Time.
one of the great contemporary jazz small groups in the world today. That was Festival Tune and Fly, who are Mark Turner on tenor sax, Larry Grenadier on bass, and drummer Jeff Ballard. And that CD, Year of the Snake, is out now on the ECM label. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. When pianist Alan Broadbent made a rare appearance in this country at the Watermill Jazz in Dorking, Jazz Lineup asked Kevin Ajonra to attend the gig. New Zealand pianist Alan Broadbent was on an exclusive UK tour, which also took in the Bull's Head at Barnes. A member of the Woody Herman Orchestra for 3 years, from 1969, as well as working with Nelson Riddle and Henry Mancini, Alan has been a long-standing member of the quartet of American bassist Charlie Hayden. And Kevin Ajonra began by asking Alan to name his European trio.
That's Phil Steen, or Steen, but he prefers Steen, and Kai Busenius. And they're world-class musicians.
Touring Europe, it says a lot about jazz as an international language.
Oh, you're absolutely right. But more than a language, Kevin, I have to emphasize it's that feeling. You know, it's different than fusion and all other kinds of music. It's that feeling of swinging. So it connects to a life force that we really believe is a healthy and beautiful thing. And on top of that feeling, you can aspire to be Mozart or whoever you want.
So most people in the UK will know you through your work with Charlie Hayden's Quartet West, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, and also the arranging work that you've done with a whole host of people, from Nelson Riddle to Shirley Horn. What do you actually like about the trio format?
Well, arranging for me, I love the orchestra. I just love the orchestra. I'm still learning how to write for it, and trio jazz, or jazz in general for me, is about the improvisation, of course. But that feeling of having this little form, it's not a sonata form or allegro, whatever, it's a tune, you know, 32 bars. And that I can be as free with that as I feel.
Tell me about, if we go back, if we reach back in time, tell me about your work with the great Woody Herman, which I believe goes back to, what, the late 60s?
Man, yes. I was about 8 years old. I was very precocious on the band. I was going to Berklee, what was then Berklee School of Music in Boston. And but I used to work every night. I had a trio. And a couple of guys came in. Jake Hanna was the drummer, and Nat Pierce, the pianist, who were old buddies of Woody, and they had heard about me from Berklee School and came down to hear me, and so I joined Woody. At about the time, there was a great kind of jazz rock, that just the end of that period where both words weren't really so negative. The group was called Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And
of Spinning Wheel fame.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. And so I wrote, you know, because the band was just, we were just doing awful gigs, military bases and Elks Club dance things. And a couple of us young guys got together and decided we'd write some new charts for Woody. And Smiling Phases was what I chose, and a couple others, because they had a nice transition between the big band and the kind of rock music that kids were listening to at that time. So we just sort of fell into that, and Woody liked it because when we'd do a prom or something, all the kids would gather around like the old days.
One of the things about Quartet West, Charlie Hayden's group, which I mentioned at the top of the conversation, which a lot of people will know you for, is the subtlety and the finesse of some of the voicings and the use of colours and space. It's a very rich sound, but it's not overpowering.
No, well, that's Charlie's vision, too. We did an album last year called Sophisticated Ladies that some people might know, and we had, what, half a dozen of the best divas in jazz, including one classical one, Renee Fleming. And I basically said to myself, yeah, Charlie, yeah, good luck. Yeah, I'm with you, I'll do it, but good luck. Well, he did it. This is Charlie's force of nature. He got them to sing the songs he wanted on the album.
The sighing boughs against the sky, the night bird singing to his mate nearby, they supplied the sweet harmony of a love song.
You're from New Zealand. Was it essential for you to leave New Zealand to pursue the career that you wanted to as a jazz musician?
In 1961, I heard my first jazz. A friend of mine took me to hear Dave Brubeck, who was doing a world tour at that time, and he came to Auckland. And I couldn't believe it. As soon as Paul Desmond played, I knew that he was doing something to me that I'd never heard before in music. And I understood the song because my dad's sheet music and stuff, I had played it. But I didn't know you could do that with music like that. And it became something to pursue as to how to get this feeling. And luckily there were some older musicians in Auckland that I managed to work with, and they whipped me into shape. And I got on a boat. 32 days later, I arrived in New York and worked my way up to Boston. My wonderful teacher, Lenny Tristano, said, if I don't use that energy, that energy that enables you to create with this feeling, it'll work against you. After I left Woody, I swore I'd never let the piano side of me go again.
Thank you.
Charlie Hayden's Quartet West from the double CD, The Private Collection, and that track, Charlie Parker's Segment. Alan Broadbent on the piano and Charlie Hayden on the bass. Alan Broadbent was talking to Kevin Legendre, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. Pianist composer Michael Garrick's boundless energy and enthusiasm for music placed him at the forefront of UK jazz from the 1960s until his sad death in November 2011. The last album he recorded in the summer of 2011 is called Home Thoughts, and we thought we'd play a track from it now to continue remembering such a great innovator and friend to Jazz Lineup. On Home Thoughts, Michael explores the work of some of the great poets, composing to the lines of Shakespeare, Browning and Blake, alongside his own poetry. The lineup on the album is Michael, of course, on piano, Matt Ridley on bass, Chris Nichols on drums, Tony Woods on reeds, and a great vocalist I've just discovered, Nettie Robinson, who does a terrific job on some difficult melody lines. This is the track Home Thoughts from Abroad.
To be in England unaware that the lowest boughs and the brushwood sheaf round the elm tree bole are in tiny leaf. While the chaffinch sings on the orchard bough in England. Now, and after April, when May follows and the white throat's bill